Maybe. Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Tonight we're talking football, Sun Belt Conference football with Jay Walker and Danny Reed. How are you this evening, Danny?
I'm doing well, boys. Hope you are too.
I think we got a little delay, Jay.
I think so. Well, either that or,
Danny doesn't like us.
well, but we knew that already.
What's new in this world, huh?
Yeah, and we're gonna talk football. That's very cool.
Yes. Let's go back last week. James Madison Marshall, Danny, Thursday night game. Marshall looked rather pedestrian, I'll say. Any comments on the game? Thoughts?
I knew that Marshall was dealing with some injuries. I didn't realize who and how many, but when you're down six starters and one of those is Rasheen Ali, and you realize that Cam Fancher, their really good quarterback, is playing hurt, and the fact that JMU has been on this mission where they're going to run through anybody to prove their point, is the point, I guess it keeps needing to be made because they're not getting any kind of cooperation from the NCAA, and everybody's saying their piece. Everybody is trying to say, hey, you need to make whatever. But until that happens, it's kind of fun to watch a team that's in its second FBS season. Granted, Georgia Southern was one of the teams they ran over, but it's kind of fun to watch somebody that is well equipped to make the move and that has everything in place to do what they're doing actually follow through with it. And until somebody knocks them off, you kind of just got to live with what they're doing.
I didn't realize Ali hadn't played. I thought I was watching the game and I thought I saw his name on the back of a jersey at some point during the game, but that could have been a different week that I saw that I'm misremembering, quite honestly. So, Jay, your thoughts on, did you get a chance to opportunity?
I watched it, and ditto what Danny said, but the story about James Madison, has become a fish story that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's been nothing that would indicate that anything is going to change other than what they said at the beginning of the season, that James Madison is not eligible for the conference championship. And they're only eligible for a bowl game if there aren't enough teams at 6-6. That stuff hasn't changed. Now, something that I think we knew, but I don't think was common knowledge, is that as an ineligible team, they can't be ranked in the college football playoff top 25. So even if they stay undefeated and they're the best undefeated team or whatever, we'll never know if they were the highest rated because they're not going to be part of the rankings.
Interesting. Interesting. So I hear what both of y'all are saying, and I agree. I don't think at this point the league is going to change their mind on allowing them to play in the championship game, because I really don't think you can. If that's how you, if the rules you started the season with are A, you can't change them to
And
B midseason.
look, it sucks. Okay. I mean, it does. It sucks. And, I feel for James Madison, and I feel for their fans. This is a stupid, antiquated, archaic rule that needs to be done away with. But we still have the rule until we don't. And the rule's the rule, and this isn't going to be one of those, okay, let's make an exception. I don't think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, the NCAA, twice in the last 10 days have pretty much reiterated what they said at the very beginning, that James Madison's not eligible. I think it sucks.
All right, let's move on to last weekend's games. I thought Saturday's games were some of the closest games for a full week of schedules. There was no blowouts except for earlier in that Thursday night with the if you want to call 20 to 11 or 20 to 9 a blowout, which, but let's start with Coastal Arkansas State. I mean, I know they're playing at Arkansas State, but Danny, any surprise that I don't know that they struggled, but that the score was that close?
No, I don't necessarily think so. It seems like they're starting to gain a little bit of steam. Everybody was thinking this was going to be business as usual with, even despite the changes, you still had the consistency at quarterback. But after a couple of toe stubbings, especially on national TV, it's automatically, well, they made the bad hire. This is going to go completely south. Well, we get a chance to experience that. Because Jay knows just as well as I do with football, you play once a week. So all you have to go on is what you did the week before. Basketball, you're playing multiple times a week. Baseball, you're playing four or five times a week. So you can fix things in the middle of a week, even in the middle of a game. But with football, if you blow that contest, you're sitting on that until you play again, regardless of how much practice you have. But after they went and picked up a big win against App, and I think that Ark State is better, but I'm not ready to say that they're a contender in the West yet. You hope that they can keep things in place because there is some improvement. Just five wins those first 2 years, but it does feel like they're better. I think they've got a really good quarterback in Rainer, and I think he's only going to get better and better. And you just hope that they keep that in place. And I think they're going to with the past relationship between Butch and AD Jeff Purinton. But for Coastal, a lot of it now is, when are you going to get Grace McCall back? Because that was a pretty serious situation. I'm glad that he appears to be doing fine. Highly doubtful that he plays this weekend. But after that, if you're a Coastal team that's trying to convince people that, hey, we didn't really fall that far off, then you're probably going to need 10 back in there sooner than later.
Jay?
You know, Coastal never trailed in that game. Arkansas State kind of stayed with him, but never could quite get there. You know, the situation with Arkansas State and Rainer right now is kind of similar to the Cajuns with Zion Chris. Rainer's a talented dude, and he's helped Arkansas State get better. But he also threw two crucial picks in that game when it looked like Arkansas State might have a chance. You know, we've seen Zion, you know, turn it over a few times, including, you know, in the red zone, in the end zone on Saturday. There's no question he's made the Cajuns better, but there have been some, you know, some crucial mistakes he's made, just like Rainer at Arkansas State. Now, I'm taking my guy, okay? I think Zion Chris is going to be a star, but Rainer's good, and he's a natural freshman. Arkansas State was coming off a bye week. So, you know, they had a chance to take their freshman quarterback who didn't start till game three and you know, help to bring them along a little bit and do some classroom work. I'm with Danny, you know, I don't think they're a threat to win the West, but they're a whole lot better than they were. And Rainer's the reason why.
Moving on to App State Old Dominion, Jay, this is, looks like it might be the second year in a row that App State doesn't make a bowl game. I mean, we saw Old Dominion early in the season. We saw what they did against some P5 schools too. Is App State fallen that much, or was Old Dominion just pretty good?
Yes. Okay. The, you know, Old Dominion, remember when the Cajuns lost to them in week 2? Oh my God, how could you lose to that team? Well, guess what? You know, they're playing pretty decent football. I think the over under on their wins this year was 3. They've already surpassed that. They've got a legitimate chance to make a bowl game. So, you know, credit to Ricky Ronnie's team, because they obviously are better than anybody thought they were going to be. Having said that, you know, this is the second year in a row that App is down. And, you know, what's the old saying? When it happens once, it's a fluke. And when it happens twice, it's a trend. And App State is trending in the wrong direction right now. And, you know, they had the year they had last year. And yet, you know, there were a lot of people, okay, who's going to win the East? Well, it's going to be App. Well, App's in last place right now.
Danny, your thoughts on that matchup?
You kind of got to focus a little bit more on Old Dominion, not that you weren't last year, naturally, because they're in the same division. But Old Dominion was a team that I think everybody expected with that new offense was going to be throwing it everywhere and running 80 plays a game with that Fordham system that they're still running and how difficult it has been for everybody to stop. But they've turned into a running team. They've turned into a team that is breaking off these huge chunks. I think they had four touchdown runs against Marshall of about 65 yards. And it seems that no matter who the quarterback is, they're going to keep running the football. And defensively, while Jason Henderson is still making about 20 tackles per game, they're doing enough to stop people. I fear for App that we could be looking at something that a lot of people have talked about a year. They may be on the verge of something, and that's not a good something. And I'll just leave it at that.
No, I agree with both of what you're saying. I just think that I think what also people fail to realize with the addition of James Madison, Marshall, Old Dominion, and Southern Miss, the Sun Belt is better than it was in previous years. So I think we've got some fun times coming up. Danny, the game that you were at was, you know, a 38-28 victory over ULM, Georgia Southern over ULM. Are the Warhawks a better team than we've seen in the past? What happened in that game?
Oh, ULM's definitely a better team than what they typically have shown. I know that it's five straight. It seems like it's always something that goes wrong for them. With App, it's a 54-yard field goal at the end of the game. With Texas State, they blow a double-digit lead inside of 4.5 minutes. This past weekend, Georgia Southern scores 24 points in barely 4 minutes because the Warhawks turned it over three times, twice inside their own 20, and the other one was an interception that Georgia Southern ran back to the 10. Outside of that little burst, I don't know that Georgia Southern was the better team on Saturday, but they scored so much so quickly, and they built a 24-point lead that by the time ULM started to gather some steam, they just couldn't get the scores that they needed when they needed it, and then the Eagles sealed it with that pick six.
Jay?
Yeah, you know, I all I did was, like, follow the score. And, you know, Georgia Southern's got a huge lead, and then all of a sudden Georgia Southern doesn't have a huge lead, and it's late in the game, and, you know, ULM has the football down three, but they throw the pick six late, and that was that.
James, talk to me here. Talk Cajun fans off the ledge here with a 20-17 loss to Georgia State this weekend.
You know, I visited with, of course, Mike last night on Louisiana Athletics Live, and you were up in the booth, and you heard what he had to say at halftime. You know, you're down, and you've got like 80-something yards in total offense is all you have. You've given up some explosives to where even the backup quarterback was able to score a touchdown. Cody asked Mike about it, and he said, we had a couple of busts. We're fine. We'll be fine in the second half. He said last night that defensively they made no adjustments. They just played better. And that they didn't change a whole lot offensively either. Now, of course, anytime something happens like at the end of the game, you know, if they run the football, don't make a first down, and Almendares misses a field goal, well, my God, you weren't even playing to win, yeah. Right? If you run it and Almendares does kick the field goal and you lose in overtime, it's why didn't you play to win it in regulation? So they play to win it in regulation. The play works. LeBlanc is wide open in the end zone. And Mike even mentioned what the play was about. You had Neil Johnson on the left side and LeBlanc coming from right to left toward the corner, back corner of the left end zone. And it was an option sort of thing where if the corner stays with Pete, then Neil Johnson's going to beat his man and you're going to get a touchdown. If the guy comes up to go with Johnson, then Pete's going to be wide open. Well, the play worked perfectly, except the cornerback went way up in the air and made an interception, you know, and that's not so much on Zeon as much as it was a really good play. But then I read, oh, it was a terrible play call. Let me tell y'all something. I didn't know what Back to the Future was about till I watched the movie. And after the movie, I knew an awful lot about Back to the Future. So, you know, after the play's over, oh, that was a bad play call. Yeah, well, actually it wasn't, because it was going to be a touchdown.
You know, I thought the play call was fine. I thought the defender, and you brought it up, if you watch the video, I think, because, you know, I'm up in the booth, I've got the binoculars, I'm watching the defender go up. And the way he goes up and grabs the ball, normally when you come down like that, you're going to hit the ground and the ball's going to pop out. I thought he made a hell of a play.
He did.
And the other thing, I think, also taking away that last play, I thought that second half and that first half of the Minnesota game were about the two best halves of football the Cajuns have played in a long time. Now, we got to put a game together like that when we need to put a game together like that.
And that would be this week.
Yes.
But it's a shame it ended the way it did. But I'm not going to, I mean, look, I watched the game. Okay. And we talked about what was getting ready to happen. The one thing we didn't talk about was the guy making a great play to intercept the pass. Yeah.
Danny, I know you probably had an opportunity to watch. You guys played earlier in the day in Statesboro, so you didn't have to travel. Why don't you talk about what you saw and then roll on into Georgia Southern and Georgia State on Thursday night. So you got your time right here, brother. Go for it.
When I turned it on and Georgia State's first drive went to the 1 yard line, you're thinking, okay, I've seen this before. They usually start pretty well, but then something they did twice against Troy that cost them was Marcus Carroll fumbled at the 1 oomph line. I mean, you could look at another angle. Maybe he got in. I don't know that he did. There was nothing that showed either way. The call on the field was whatever it was. But after that, the Cajuns couldn't grab momentum. And I think that that was a big part in Georgia State scoring the next 20 points. And to Jay's point, Granger comes out with the concussion protocol. Colasardo comes in and leads a touchdown drive. He's barely played, and he just takes them right down the field running the same offense. So they've got a confidence in themselves that until you're around it, and Jay, you've seen it when Billy was there and to a degree with Dez, and I've seen it before with Georgia Southern. When you have that confidence, it doesn't matter who is on the other side. You're going to do your stuff, and you're going to beat whoever you're across from. That being said, after the 20-0 lead, Granger comes back in, and that offense wasn't the same in the second half. So whether he was affected by the previous hit or he just couldn't get it going, the Cajuns, in my mind, should have won the game. And you hate it for Chris because you know what he saw. You could see what he saw, but it's what he didn't see. That's why the game went back to Georgia State. And it's unfortunate because the Cajuns played more than well enough in the second half to win. If they were done in the first half, it's probably not a game. But granted, if Georgia State plays the second half the way they did the first, then it's a different conversation.
I'm going to wait because we're getting ready to talk about what's happening Thursday night, and I'll make my comment about Georgia State then.
Okay. Danny, roll with it, brother. Georgia State coming into Statesboro, and Let's see if Georgia State can get some Statesboro blues, huh?
Well, I think I've told you guys this before. If there is one thing and only one thing that ticks Eagle fans off more than anything else, it's the fact that Georgia State leads the all-time series 6-3. It's almost unconscionable to think about that they started a program less than a decade and a half ago, have had this rise, and for whatever reason, they've had Georgia Southern's number. And that's when the Eagles went up to Atlanta the first meeting in 2014, scored 69 points, ran for 600 yards. You thought, okay, whatever. Next year, they come to Statesboro, give the Eagles the worst loss in the history of Paulson. And ever since, it's been them. It's consistently been their rivalry. It became a rivalry when a lot of people said it never should have. But they've never been here on a Thursday. Georgia Southern has never hosted a Thursday after hosting a Saturday. But if they have designs of winning the East Division, regardless of what happens with JMU, let's say the situation is currently what it's going to be. JMU is just a placeholder. They're just up there. They're undefeated. Great for them. But until something happens, they are where they are. If Georgia Southern gets this game, to me, they control themselves the rest of the season in the East. Now, if Old Dominion decides they want to upset James Madison, that throws an extra story in. But the Eagles and ODU still have to play each other. That's going to be November the 18th down here for Senior Day. But this is going to go a long way to determining who represents the East. I think the winner of this game might win the East.
Jake?
You know, the thing, and there's – I've been reading about this a little bit, and I noticed it with Georgia State in the game Saturday. Who made the who did the song "I Got a New Attitude"? Was that Patti LaBelle? Was that the Pointer Sisters?
The Pointer Sisters.
They do. You know, they got off to a bad start last year, and then they looked pretty unmotivated, to be honest with you, as the season progressed. They fired their strength and conditioning coach and hired a guy who's a real rah-rah type of guy. Now, you know, I talked to Mike about it on the radio show, I think the week before, and he says the strength and conditioning coach is your biggest hire if you're a head coach, because they're going to spend time with your football team that you can't spend, because there are times where you can't have any contact with your players, but the strength and conditioning coach can. And it really looks as though this guy has changed the culture at Georgia State, or at least the culture they had a year ago. These dudes play hard and they play with emotion. And we didn't see that out of them last year. They're still very solid on the offensive line. They're going to run the football. Well, they're going to spread you out, and then they're going to run the football. And then when you decide to put more guys in the box, they're going to go up top. The scheme, I think, that they have offensively is good. And Carroll's a good running back, although, as you mentioned, Danny, he's had a little issue with ball security from time to time. But he's a good big back. They don't have much, if anything, behind him from a running back standpoint, but he's good. And Lewis is a good receiver, and the guy on the other side had a good game against the Cajuns, and Granger's a dual threat. I like their offense. Conversely, I think if you're Georgia Southern, if Georgia State chooses to do on defense what they did against the Cajuns last week, which is in passing situations and on third down, blitzing constantly, you know, Davis Brim might be sitting there going, come to Papa, because I think they're going to be vulnerable if you're in a passing situation and Georgia Southern can control Georgia State's blitz. Then I think that there are some explosives to be made for the Eagles.
To your point about the strength and conditioning coach, prime example, Rusty Witt. Do you think Hud has his success here early on without Rusty Witt?
Oh, there's no question he doesn't. And, you know, if you look at you know, the success that Napier had with Mark Hockey as the strength, there's a reason why he's paying him $1 million over there at Florida. You know, if you got a good strength and conditioning coach, man, he can make a lot of difference.
Danny, I know the Sun Belt doesn't control the schedule in the sense of what day of the week. That's picked up by the TV, ESPN, you know, moving your game from Saturday to Thursday. But advantage Eagles here with Georgia State going on the road and Georgia Southern being home the previous week, Now, Georgia State back on the road, even though it's only, what, 2.5, 3 hours? I mean, is that an – I mean, you got to believe that's an advantage, Georgia Southern, though, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit. Maybe that's something you don't see until the end of the game. Maybe that's something that accumulates, and by the time you're in the fourth quarter, it's, okay, the legs appear to not be where they could be, just a little bit off. And I didn't realize this, but apparently Georgia State did not leave as a team until Sunday. And apparently their plane was late in getting to Lafayette to get them back to Atlanta. So that took even more time away from what I'm sure they wanted to do. And then tomorrow they're going to have to meet. They're going to be traveling. They're actually going to be staying in Dublin, which is about an hour and a half up I-16 from Statesboro. But when they get here on Thursday, they might have to find some time in a couple of different respects. But with the way that they're rolling, I think Coach Elliott is probably going to sell them on this is, look, this is an obstacle. You've overcome just about everything that has come your way. And look, what they went through this offseason is something that they've never done before, building for something exactly like this. So I don't believe that they're going to look at that, oh, well, we got tired in the fourth quarter because of the schedule. You can't say that. The schedule is what the schedule is. Whatever happens, happens. But they have conditioned themselves for a spot just like this, and you don't need any extra motivation when these two are playing each other, especially for Coach Elliott, because he's got the extra aspect of having been at App State for almost 20 years as a player, as a coach. So when Georgia Southern's on the other sideline, he knows how to get the engine going.
The other game I want to talk about on the east side, it's very interesting that this weekend, the top four teams in the east play and the top four teams in the west play. Old Dominion at James Madison. This is an Old Dominion team, even though they beat the Cajuns earlier in the season, I think is a better team than they were then. Danny, your thoughts on this game coming up with James Madison?
I saw that JMU is a pretty substantial favorite and won their home where they're almost unbeatable. I think they're 51-3 the last 7 years, which is just ridiculous. It is homecoming. But if you're Old Dominion and this is really an improved year with a new offense and a lot of new personnel, you have a chance to prove a lot to a lot with a win this game. If you lose, then it's just going to be, well, you were supposed to lose anyway. Good try, good effort. Try to get to 6 wins, get to a bowl game. Good story. You win this game, then everything we're talking about gets turned on its head.
Jay?
I couldn't say it better. You know, Old Dominion's not supposed to win. They're not. And James Madison's got a lot of things going for him. You know, I think the odds makers are a little bit inflated, frankly. I think this could be a lot better game than what they think it could be. But if Old Dominion's going to win this game, James Madison's going to have to help him.
And to your point about not saying it better, that's the reason Danny's on the show.
That's correct.
It's kind of hard not to say it better. Go ahead. Don't roll your eyes at us, Danny. You're lucky you're across the U.S. right now because we'd reach out and smack you one. No. Moving on to the east side, Cajuns are traveling South Alabama, Jay.
That's the west side.
The west side. It's the east if you're – we're going to the east side of the Mississippi. The Cajuns are traveling east to Mobile.
There you go.
That's safe.
So, South Alabama, a huge favorite here, and rightfully so a little bit, maybe.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty big. I think it's another one. That
I thought when the numbers came out on Sunday, I said 9? Really? And then it's gone to double digits. I think what a lot of folks are looking at is what South Alabama's done in their last two games. Okay. You outscored the opposition, what, 110-10 or whatever it is. Now, you know, I don't, you know, they obviously weren't playing James Madison and Troy here. Okay. They were playing Arkansas State and ULM. But I think that's why, and I'm sorry, Southern Miss, Arkansas State and Southern Miss. So I'm taking their recent success with a grain of salt, I think. Having said that, before the season started, I said that I really believed that the road to the conference championship game was going through Mobile. I said that before the season started. Because they had so many guys back from last year. And even though they had to go to Troy later on, they had so many returning starters. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. I think we're starting to see how good they can be. But I'm not ready to crown them anything yet because I'm still not sure about what the last 2 weeks was all about.
Yeah, Danny, I think Southern Miss is a very bad football team right now. But was that because South Alabama is so much better? But at the same time, the Cajuns traditionally have not played great in Mobile either. So your thoughts on this weekend's game as an outsider?
I think South Alabama has found something. I don't exactly know what. They've scored 55 in two straight, so I guess they're a big fan of Jason Williams. I don't know. But they're playing a lot better than what they were. I think the last time they looked vulnerable was the James Madison game, and you had some circumstances where they didn't get into the area until late Friday night. They got delayed by an hour. Their bus was late getting to the field for a noon kick, and they played like they had just gotten out of bed. Granted, third and fourth quarter, kind of close, got it to one score. Had a chance, but JMU closed them out. I was surprised, too, when I saw it was 9, and even more so when it's up to double digits. For me, if South Alabama does what they have been again, then if I'm Troy or Texas State, I'm probably taking notice. But if I'm the Cajuns, I'm probably a little bit ticked off that one slipped away last week when they probably should have beaten a pretty damn good Georgia State team. But well, we shall see what happens.
You know, the last two meetings between the two schools, Diego Guajardo and Mobile missed a field goal that would have won the game. And then last year, he made the field goal that won the game. So, you know, that's another reason why I think when it was 9 and then 10, I said, whoa, wait a second here. Maybe South Alabama's that good. I don't know. But you know, generally speaking, these games usually pretty tight when these two teams get together.
I know historically in football, because South Alabama historically has not had a football team that long. But if you look at other sports across the board, the Cajuns and the Jaguars, you talk baseball, you talk basketball, that's been a very, very heated rivalry for years. Now, whether the football teams realize that is a whole nother story. So we'll have to see. Finally, game we're going to talk about tonight. Troy heading to Texas State. Jay, we have not seen Troy yet. We've seen Texas State. Both teams 5-2 overall, 2-1 in conference play. What happens next?
That was nicely played. With all due respects to my friends over in the San Marcos area, they're having a really nice season. Okay. They got some wins early. They're sitting there right now at 5-2. I think they're going to get that sixth win. I don't know if they're going to get much more than that, to be honest with you. If you look at what they've got the rest of the way. Texas State is much improved this year, but I don't know that they're ready for Troy. I don't know that they're ready for South. I know that they weren't quite ready for the Cajuns. They're at home. Kudos to them for the crowd they had their last home game. You know, they had 27,000. Shoot, you know, we've made a couple of trips to San Marcos where you had the two trips together and they didn't have 27,000. So props to them. You know, the fans have awakened there. Better, but I just don't think they're good enough yet. I think it's coming.
I agree with you there completely. Danny, I think Troy is just, even though the records are the same, I think Troy is that step above them, especially coming off a great season last year. It maybe got a little cocky at the beginning of this season, but you know, a great season last year, What's your thought on that matchup this weekend?
I wish I had a little bit more insight on Troy, because played them every year up until last year, but this is the second straight year not getting a chance to see them on the field. But I do know that Kamani Vidal is leading the country in rushing, and good on him for the career that he's had. He was actually close to coming to Georgia Southern at one point. But to see what they have done after a rough start, and also with Texas State, remember, Texas State beat Baylor. Everybody was, whoa. Texas State doesn't do that ever. It was all about, could they just keep it close? Could they keep it reasonable? They'd never beaten a Power 5 team. And then they built themselves to 3-1. They almost beat UTSA, which would have been a really good win. I know that's a great rivalry. But for them to have the kind of season they've had so far, I'm not going to say they peaked. But with the injuries that have piled up on them, they've had some major guys get dinged up and miss multiple weeks. And I think it's impacted them gradually. I think that they're still a top half of the league team, but the Louisiana loss and then nearly losing to ULM, if they don't have a hell of a rally in the final 4 minutes, they're 4-3 instead of 5-2. And this is because that's a big difference. 5-2 and 4-3, that's very, very, I know it's only one game, but that's a big difference when you're talking about seven games. The crowd is going to keep them in this, because I do think that they're going to show up, and they proved that they could show up. Coach Bowden said it was the best Sun Belt crowd he had ever seen, and I'm glad, because that's a beautiful stadium and it deserves to have a lot of people in there. But I'm kind of leaning towards Jay on this. Troy is battle-tested. They're built. And I think that Texas State is going to be able to thrive on emotion for a while, but I think Troy's the better team. I do.
I see you looking.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
I agree with both of you there, and And to your point, Danny, I think Texas State Stadium is about the right size for any Sun Belt team. It's beautiful the way they've done it. It doesn't go up too high. When you're in the booth, you really don't need binoculars, as long as nobody has any crazy type of jerseys on. But it's really the height and where you want to be at a stadium. I love the stadium.
Yeah, it's a horseshoe. You know, the seating is in a horseshoe, and I think it's kind of cool.
When they wear their black jerseys with the gold numbers,
somebody needs to punch them.
No, it's like the Cajun jersey when they wear the black on the red, and with the press box as high as it is a Cajun field, good luck. You cannot tell a thing with those numbers.
Well, the next time you come here, if you come here again, the press box will not be that high. So final thoughts, Jay, on this evening, either last week or this week or going forward in the Sun Belt Conference period.
You know, Arkansas State ULM play this week, right?
Yes.
You know, Arkansas State's won like nine in a row, I think, between the two. Although the records aren't very good, whoever wins that game is still going to say, hey, we can make it to a bowl game. We can. You know, Arkansas State would be 4-4. ULM would be 3-5. And if they would win, and that's going to be the mantra for whoever wins that game. I think whoever loses that game is going to have a hard time getting the six wins.
Danny, your final thoughts on the evening?
No, it's not technically rivalry weekend, but you've got some really good games in the league this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's a rivalry for the Eagles and the Panthers on Thursday night. Texas State-Troy could be who wins the West. ODU and JMU. ODU could be playing for a division, because if they lose, it's going to be tough for them with what Georgia State and Georgia Southern are going to do. And you could say vice versa for either. Cajuns and South Alabama is a long-standing rivalry. I know South Alabama hasn't been playing football for that long, but that permeates, I think, the other sports. And I think that ULM and Arkansas State is going to be a compelling game, because when they get together, it's usually a pretty crazy game.
Now, is it this weekend that Southern Miss goes to App?
No, Marshall's at App.
Marshall's at App. Okay.
That's a hell of a game. Because you got two teams that are in desperate need of getting it, because if neither does...
No, Marshall's at Coastal. Southern Miss is at App.
Yes. Okay. That's next weekend. Then either way. Okay. If you separate them, Marshall is in dire need, because they may not go to a bowl if they don't figure it out. App probably needs to get it going soon. Otherwise, not only are they not going to a bowl, but there's other conversations.
You know, a lot of people are scratching their heads about Southern Miss, and I get it, okay? Because Southern Miss, when you look at the tradition that they have, they, you know, anytime, any place, anywhere, they've won their share of Power Five games. I remember when he was the commissioner talking with Wright Waters and asking him about the future of the league. And he said, it's my belief that when South Alabama gets it rolling, and it's going to take them a little time, but when South Alabama gets it rolling and they start getting all of those kids from the southern part of Alabama going over to the Panhandle, that's a place where Southern Miss in the past has thrived. They're not getting those folks anymore. South Alabama's getting them now. And so, you know, Wright Waters proved to be a prophet there. He also said that he thought, way back when they joined the league, that Georgia State maybe had as much upside as anybody. And you know, talking about sport of football. So, you know, I mean, he's not been a dummy, okay? He's made some of the stuff that he said has come to fruition here.
Danny, Jay, thank you both. Appreciate your time tonight. We'll be back on shortly. So we've been talking football, Sun Belt Conference football, with Danny Reed, voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles, and Jay Walker, voice of the UL Raging Cajuns.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.